Hi, and welcome to our Pensions Age podcast. I'm Laura Blows, editor of Pensions Age, and joining me today to discuss COP26, ESG investment issues, climate reporting, and net zero is Carlo Funk, who is the EMEA Head of ESG Investment Strategy at State Street Global Advisors. Hello, Carlo.
Hey, Laura.
So, Carlo, ESG, climate change, and net zero have all risen rapidly up the agenda of pension investors in recent years. And it's dominating discussions even more than usual lately, due to the COP26 event being recently held in Glasgow. What would you say were the key resolutions from COP26? And are there any in particular that pension fund investors should be aware of?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. COP26 resulted in a number of developments that will impact the financial services industry and would obviously be way beyond the scope of this podcast to go through everything right now. But there have been quite major developments, and I would like to maybe go through a couple of them. So first, a new International Sustainability Standards Board was developed and kicked out. I think this is one of the most significant outputs of COP26, even though it's not as eye-catching as some of the other like carbon reduction pledges and other headlines. But the establishment of a new International Sustainability Standards Board is so crucial when it comes to better ESG disclosure by companies, which will then eventually feed through better data, better research, and better investment decision-making process. So this is why this development of the standards board is so significant, because as for the first time, there is consensus between investor-focused sustainability disclosure organizations to support one single disclosure standards board. So that's a pretty significant outcome. Another one, I think, would be the phasing out of coal. With COP26, what has been advocated by many environmentalists for a long time has finally now resulted in a specific commitment, with 23 countries pledged to end the use of coal and to stop financing coal plants outside of their borders. And there's been a very interesting case with South Africa, where the US, the UK, the EU, and Germany and France came together to make a pledge to directly employ $8.5 billion to help South Africa phase out of coal in a fair manner for everybody involved. And I think this is very particularly interesting and important for investors, because it's another step for coal to be seen as a potential stranded assets and the associated operations around it. And then there's been a huge focus on methane. So 105 countries joined the Global Methane Pledge, which is a US-EU-led commitment to cut global methane emissions by at least 30% from 2020 levels by 2030. And this is important because methane is a byproduct of a lot of fossil fuel operations, and it's a very, very big and toxic byproduct on natural gas. So this is something to also have an eye on for investors to say, well, if I'm a natural gas company, will I incur potential additional capital expenditures to reduce methane as a byproduct? Another one is the green tech innovation that's called the Glasgow Breakthrough, which was also led by the UK and more than 40 other nations, including the EU, China, India, and the US, to impose standards and a huge amount of incentives and rules to create markets for new technologies that will support the climate transition. And I think this is a very, very important point, because we all know that the transition to a low carbon economy will not be possible just with current technologies. We need innovation. And this Glasgow Breakthrough Pledge is setting up rules of the game and laying out the lay of the land that will help achieving this. And I think the last two important points that I would mention is that India joined the Net Zero Club. I mean, India is the third largest emitter in the world, and they have been one of the very few nations that have not made net zero pledges. They have done so now with targeting net zero by 2070. So although this is not in line with most other countries' pledges to achieve net zero by 2050, it is still a notable development. And they have also made a pledge to meet 50% of the energy requirement from renewables by 2030, up from 40%. So with a huge economy like India is, this has implications, and then for the entire economy. And lastly, we've been moving beyond direct emissions considerations to address issues like biodiversity. So there's a growing recognition that climate risk is not only about emissions, but also about protecting biodiversity and the associated environmental and financial risks stemming from biodiversity loss. And we had this deforestation pledge, which I'm sure you've heard of, which 130 countries joined. And I think this is a notable development because when we think about like climate and climate specific reporting and measurements, obviously the task force for climate related financial disclosures have set out great rules of the game that have now been put into some regulations and lawmaking actually. But when it comes to biodiversity, this is relatively new. And just last year, the task force for nature related financial disclosure has been kicked off. State Street Global Advisors and State Street Bank, we are a part of this. And I think recognizing that biodiversity and biodiversity loss and the impact of which is going to be very important for us going forward is another major outcome for me.
Okay, Kai, thank you for that. It is a number of interesting and very significant developments that have come out of COP26. But before this, UK pension fund investors already have a number of climate reporting considerations that they have to make, particularly the task force on climate-related financial disclosures that you mentioned. Perhaps you could tell us more about what exactly that is and what it requires from pension funds.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, obviously, when it comes to pension fund regulation, there are a lot of regulations out there, obviously, understandably. But I think the latest big one is the so-called Occupational Pension Scheme, Climate Change Governance and Reporting Regulation. It's a mouthful. But what that means in a nutshell is that pension schemes need to start measuring their carbon footprint. And they need to do this utilizing, it's relatively prescriptive, they need to start utilizing one absolute carbon emission metrics, one emission intensity metrics, so a metric that puts carbon intensity in relation to an output, like for example, the weighted average carbon intensity of a capital pool, which means what's the carbon intensity associated with, for example, revenue output, and one other additional climate change metrics. That's a significant development because before that, many market participants were thinking about mandating carbon footprinting only on corporations. Now this is changing to be applied also to capital pools like pension money. And additionally, and as important, but definitely more complex, is the ruling that trustees must now on an ongoing basis identify the climate-related risks and opportunities which they consider can have an effect on the short, medium, and long term on the scheme's investments and funding strategy. But beyond the identification of it, they need to assess the impact of the climate-related risks and opportunities on that pension scheme's investment strategy and funding strategy. And they must, as far as they are able, because it's a relatively new concept, undertake climate scenario analysis. So using this, the aim of this is to assess the potential impact of the scheme's assets and liabilities of the effects of the global average increase in temperature rise and the steps that might be taken by governments or others because of the increase in temperature. And then to get an idea or to the best of the abilities to get an understanding around the resilience of the pension scheme's investment and funding strategies, given those different scenarios. And this is a very significant and bold and I think right step into the exact right direction because it shows that also lawmakers and regulators have realized that climate-related risks and opportunities can no longer be ignored by fiduciary money managers.
Okay, Carlo. So looking more into how this is actually being put into practice, I believe State Street Global Advisors recently conducted some research into how investors are implementing decarbonisation strategies into their portfolios and the challenges that they face in doing so. What would you say were the main findings from this research?
Yeah, I think number one, targets are coming. I mean, so far, 20% or one might say only 20% of investors globally have committed to specific portfolio decarbonization targets. But, and this is for me the more important part, more than two-thirds, or in fact in Europe, we are at more than 70%, say that they will introduce specific portfolio decarbonization targets within the next 3 years. So what is driving the investors there is that almost half cite their responsibility to drive economic transition to help to solve the global climate crisis as the top reason for climate investment strategies. And this is quite a difference to before, because especially when we were talking to institutional investors, it was all and almost exclusively about risk and return. Obviously, it is still about risk and return. Nobody wants to jeopardize the risk and return of the pension. But stating the desire to drive change when it comes to the economic transition to help solve the global climate crisis, mentioning this as a desire or as a push factor, that's new. And I found that really astonishing as an outcome. Number two, there are like issues around benchmarks and there's some barriers. And I think there will be some bold leaps that need to be done by pension plans. So one barrier is that the quality of ESG data is still considered a challenge. And there are still performance concerns that are on the top of many of pension managers' mind. For those who yet have to set decarbonization targets, they are actually mentioning that they have quite some concerns about possible negative impacts on investment decision-making and performance. The ones that set targets don't view this as a problem anymore, which is obviously not so surprising, because when you are a prudent fiduciary money manager, you would not necessarily set a target if you think it would jeopardize risk and performance. But the trajectory and the need for decarbonization of capital pools highlights the need for actually bold action to rethink tracking allowance versus traditional market cap benchmarks. Because we all do understand that the moment we would change our allocation away from traditional market cap benchmarks by whatever means, be it divestment or the integration of climate metrics, and you are like reweighting constituents, of course this will come with a tracking error. And we do know that if you, for example, think about the EU Paris-aligned benchmark regulation, Paris-aligned benchmarks are all running at triple-digit tracking errors. And this is being digested by the market more and more. So what we have seen is that 3/4 of European pension funds say that they have a preference to move away from standard benchmarks for their index portfolios, moving to ESG or climate-tilted custom benchmarks, which I find is a very important finding of the study.
So Carlo, you mentioned there about 20% of investors having already committed to decarbonisation. And we've certainly seen over the last year or so, a number of European and UK pension schemes actually pledged to become net zero by a certain date, say 2050, for example. But how can they actually achieve this? What will be required from these schemes to achieve their goal?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain general approaches and levers for investors that they can pull on. And that doesn't actually even matter if you are, which frameworks you're looking on in the market. If you're looking at the Paris Aligned Investment Initiative and their net zero investment framework, or you look at the science-based targets for financial institutions, or if you would look at the UN convened Net Zero Asset Owner Alliance target setting protocol. The general approach is always the same that is required. Number one, it is to decarbonize the portfolio over time, to increase investments in climate solutions and green technologies, and improve your reporting, because what gets measured gets managed. And there are actually 4 main levers that investors can pull on. Number one, very important, is the engagement with the investee company boards and the management to drive change. Number two, is the selective divestment from certain sectors and harmful activities. Having said this, we at State Street Global Advisors are not a big believer that large-scale divestment will lead to change. We think that you should have a seat at the table to properly engage and drive change in that regard. But there might be certain very harmful activities that, if they are still at the core of a business model of a company, that divestment could be considered. Then the mentioned investment in climate solutions and strategies to reallocate capital into that direction, and be a big advocate to encourage better reporting. So those are basically the steps that pension schemes that have made net zero pledge can do. And the same accounts, by the way, also for asset managers that have made net zero pledges. The questions that they need to ask themselves, though, are cumbersome, because although this sounds relatively trivial at the outset, there are quite some questions every pension plan that is considering to sign up to a net zero pledge, or maybe already have done so and figuring out what they are doing with it, they have to ask themselves. So those are which framework to select, which climate scenario to employ, which data vendors to use, which manager to work with, which asset classes might be in scope, how do I set the targets, and maybe how do I set the targets not to jeopardize, to the best of our abilities, the risk return profile of my investments, and then obviously how to engage with companies and which climate related solutions to invest in. So it's like a full on project that's going on there, but it's also complex, but I think it's incredibly exciting.
Okay, thank you, Carlo. There's certainly a lot more that we can discuss with this, but I'm afraid that we are running out of time. So just to bring it back to our initial discussion, that of COP26, it was there that the UK Secretary of State for Work and Pensions urged world leaders to use pensions investment superpower in the fight against climate change. What's your view on this statement? Just how much of a difference can pension funds really make with their investment choices?
Yeah, I think before I dive into this, I want to make sure that especially within the context of fiduciary pension management, securing the beneficiary's pension when it comes to risk and return considerations should always be the first order priority. However, having said this, I think it is absolutely a fair statement that private capital, of which pension assets arguably are one of the largest parts therein, can and potentially should play a role in order to drive change. And we just outlined ways to do this under the mentioned net zero pledges and the respective frameworks. So with better climate-related financial disclosure and better data comes better decision-making, both with regard to climate change considerations as well as risk return considerations. So in my view, those two objectives are not mutually exclusive and can go hand in hand in the long run.
Okay, Carlo, on that note, I'm afraid we'll have to leave that there. Thank you, Carlo.
Thank you, Laura.
And thank you all for joining us for this podcast. Goodbye.